Thank you very much, Lynn, for reading today's scripture. How's everybody's week been so far? Not too cranky, I hope, from the time change? How about we start with a prayer then, as we jump into God's word. Almighty and gracious God, we thank you for your word for us from the book of Nehemiah. And as we travel along this stories, these accounts, the episodes of this rebuilding project, Lord, we thank you for speaking to us. And today we especially come before you with a heavy heart, Lord, as we think about people that we know who are close to us would even hurt us. We pray, Lord, you reveal your truth to us and let us draw strength from you so that even such a problem can be lifted by the power that you have entrusted into us. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. A story is reported about a robbery in a local bank. The detectives, they investigated and they found evidence pointing to an inside job. That's because the robbery have been carried out in such a way that only someone who knew the bank from inside with the special access could have committed it. And the suspicion proved right. One of the young tellers eventually confessed to the robbery. She and her gang had capitalized on the right idea. People on the inside of something, they know things and have access to places that others on the outside do not. That's the lure of the inside job. The special advantages of inside job have been the staple of many movies, like The Italian Job. And these movies don't just feature banks getting hit by inside jobs. Perhaps some of you have also seen Olympus Has Fallen or White House Down. Those movies depict even the White House is no match for the inside jobs. That's despite the American presidential residence being armed to the teeth with the best technologies and security protocols, the attackers still got through because of inside job. Now from Nehemiah chapter 4 last Sunday, we thought about the outside enemies attacking Israelites' rebuilding project. But still, something good comes out despite oppositions. The Israelites reinforce each other with weapons and tools in hand to make the building go on. From today's scripture, the attack switches from the external to the internal. This is an inside job, pitting Israelites against Israelites. For some Israelites are exploiting their fellow brothers. Such exploiters aren't concerned with the completion of the rebuilding project. They're zoomed in on profiteering from fellow brothers' miseries. Their self-interest comes first in maximizing profits for themselves. Now, ECCSians, do not underestimate the danger of the inside job. For it's the inside job instead of the external oppositions and attacks that actually stops the project. You see, despite oppositions from Sanballat and gang, the rebuilding project was a go, right? Granted, work was impeded because Israelites had to simultaneously defend the work and build the work at the same time. Yes, resources may be diverted for defense, but people continued rebuilding. But in Nehemiah 5, in today's scripture, there's no talk of any building work when confronted by inside job. People are hungry and too weak to carry on working because of fellow Israelites profiteering. Now, do you see how internal problems are even more dangerous and crippling than external attacks. This is a red alert for our church. The inside job must be flagged as a threat to our church, even more so than outside enemy attack. Alarms must ring in our head. Sometimes, as we continue to study the book of Nehemiah, our attention is drawn to the threat of inside job that can undermine our rebuilding efforts at ECCS. So let's turn to today's scripture to learn how to overcome the inside job. Please open your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 5. This is sermon number 5 from the book of Nehemiah. This is part of our sermon series, Builder Seen and Unseen, based on Ezra and Nehemiah. The series aims to point you to the unseen God, who's really the one making all possible for rebuilding of Jerusalem's temple and city walls. Rebuilding the city walls is Nehemiah's focus, okay? That occurred about 400 years before Jesus Christ. And that's about 2,500 years ago from today. Now, while God does not intervene directly in the book of Nehemiah, the rebuilding of Jerusalem's walls in 52 days is nothing short of a miracle. More important than building the wall, Nehemiah's story is about God building up his people. Through building the wall, God built up his people to show to the world how God's people are different. So likewise, as we apply Nehemiah in rebuilding ECCS, we're concerned with God building up our congregation collectively and individually. Hence, I am using a brick to symbolize this spiritual rebuilding process, because like a building is built one brick at a time, rebuilding ECCS is also done one life at a time. And today maybe I'll do something different with this brick. I'm gonna pass this brick around. You guys just be very careful with it. And let it, those who can, just get a feel of the heavy work that can come from a brick like this. Now, today's sermon will address two things. First, the problem of the inside job. What's the problem of the inside job? The first part of Nehemiah chapter 5 tells us that verses 1 to 3, what the problem is. The problem is getting swallowed up by self-interest. That's the problem. Swallowed up by self-interest. Nothing hurts more than people getting swallowed up by self-interest. Even God's people are prone to it. When they are more concerned about what they want than what God wants. So first off, let me say this. Self-interest, as in self-preservation or survival, is not wrong. It's not wrong to have self-interest at times, because that's how we preserve ourselves, that's how we survive. In other words, we should cover our own vulnerabilities. However, the problem comes when we exploit other people's vulnerabilities by making profits from them. That's what profiteering is. And worse, so consumed and obsessed by only our own self-interests, we disregard other people's needs. It becomes a case of satisfying our desires for more stuff and the heck with the needs of other people, even those of our brothers and sisters. So let's see how the writer of Nehemiah brings the case against the culprits. These culprits are the enemies within, the inside job undermining the rebuilding project. And to be sure, there are real problems. Verse 1, let me read it for you. Now the men and their wives raised a great outcry against their fellow Jews. Verse 1 tells us complaints came not only from men, but from the wives too. Why wives? Because they run the kitchens, and kitchens are running out of food. In some ways, there's inequality again amongst the Israelites. We're told in verse 2, which says, some were saying, we and our sons and daughters are numerous. In order for us to eat and stay alive, we must get grain. Now, there are families with numerous sons and daughters, so they contribute more to the building project. More muscles, right? But the burden of feeding all these numerous sons and daughters is only carried by that family alone. In other words, the benefit of the output is enjoyed by the community. You see the wall coming up, while the cost of input is shouldered by individual families. Eventually, individual families can no longer afford to feed the many mouths in the families. And in verse 3, we're told, this imbalance is exacerbated by the famine, compounding financial hardships for the bigger families. And also, verse 4, there are still taxes to be paid. Let's read it. Still others were saying, we have had to borrow money to pay the king's tax on our fields and vineyards. But here's the straw that breaks the camel's back. Instead of coming to their own people's rescue, verse 7 tells us, the nobles and officials exploited their own kin, their own flesh and blood. Let me read it for you. Verse 7. I pondered them in my mind and then accused the nobles and officials. I told them, you are charging your own people interest. So I called together a large meeting to deal with them. Such exploitations have become the devil's inside job to suck out whatever life is left of their own people. Exploitations come in the form of usury. In other words, the exorbitant interests on loans. The culprits, in today's terms, are loan sharks, preying on the vulnerable, adding insults to wounds. According to scriptures, they are not even supposed to impose any interest at all, let alone high exorbitant interests. No wonder we read in verse 6 that Nehemiah was angry. Some things should make us angry. Like when we're exploited by those who are supposed to love us. Like when government authorities abuse the law they swear to uphold. Like when pastors and church leaders abuse vulnerable people entrusted to their care. Yes, friends, the church is not immune to such problems. Thank God for protecting ECCS from such scandals. Yet let us ECCSians guard ourselves against serving our own self-interests. It's hard to influence others for Christ when we're only interested in ourselves. When we're concerned with only what we want, we undermine our influence for Christ. Likewise, ECCS can fall apart when our people become obsessed with only what they want for themselves, their own benefits. What's in it for me mentality? So, ECCS Shins, are you here just to consume what the church offers? Now, don't get me wrong. All are welcome to enjoy worshiping and fellowshipping together. But let me plead with you to guard against getting swallowed up only with what you want, your own self-interests. Otherwise, not only will ECCS not thrive, she can hardly survive. So we have thought about the first point today, and which is the problem, the danger of becoming the inside job when we come to church swallowed up by our self-interests alone. Then what's the solution? That's part two. That's the second point for us to think about today. From the problem of inside job, the solution is to flip inside job to job inside. Okay, you have to read this carefully. It looks the same. From inside job to job inside. By the job inside, I mean the transformational job that Jesus has done inside Christians. That's through Holy Spirit, who compels you Christians to move from self-interest to self-denial. That's what job inside is. What's your motivation for such a transformation to take effect? From inside job to job inside. From self-interest to self-denial. There's nothing else but Christ-likeness, because our Lord Jesus Christ has demonstrated the ultimate self-denial. As God the Son, Jesus Christ deserves all the privileges and entitlements. But not only did he not demand them, he gave them all up, including himself. And he did so for our sake. There's no better motivation than that for Christians. The second part of Nehemiah, from verses 14 to 19, casts Nehemiah in a light that projects for us a picture of Christ's total self-denial. In verse 14, look at verse 14. Nehemiah denies himself the privileges and entitlements that are due to him as the governor. And he doesn't just do that once or twice for show, but the entire course of his 12-year governorship. Nehemiah's godliness rubs off on his brothers too, that is, his family, his clan members, for they also don't abuse the position as Nehemiah's relatives. As we all know, people close to politicians and powers that be can quite easily exert their influence corruptly. But not the case for Nehemiah's family. In verse 15, Nehemiah abolishes unreasonable legislature of the preceding governors. Now, it's easy to imagine what people of power tend to do. They tend to line the pockets with the blood, sweat, and tears of those under the power. History records the tyranny of many such people, whom we collectively call dictators. But from verses 17 to 18, Nehemiah is the opposite of dictators. Instead of grabbing, he gives generously to those in need out of his own pockets, paying the full costs of one ox, six sheep, and some poultry every day, plus drinks all around every 10 days. Not only does Nehemiah deny himself what he's entitled to, but he even gives when he's not expected to. What an amazing contrast between Nehemiah and dictators, serving up a picture of mercy and grace as depicted in the Bible for us. It's one thing to deny himself the gubernatorial entitlements, but it's quite another thing when the governor Nehemiah also contrasts himself against some Israelites who only grab for themselves. Instead of exploiting those in need like some exploitative Israelites, Nehemiah generously feeds the 150 plus other people. I don't know about you, as I read all these, it makes me really wonder. I really want to know, What can possibly make Nehemiah do such an amazing, unexpected thing? Of course, the answer is there in the scripture. But we tend to speed read. We tend to go over so fast, we might miss it. What do you think makes Nehemiah do such an amazing, unexpected thing? In verse 15, the last sentence, the difference is Nehemiah's reverence for God. Nehemiah's reverence for God makes him the opposite of dictators. ECCSians, left to our own device, self-interest will swallow us up alive. Only when we have reverence for God, we fear Him, we have profound respect for Him, being accountable to Him, will we be able to deny ourselves. In the Old Testament are some key figures like Nehemiah, who are held up as ideal God-fearers, those who treat God as God. They give us a small glimpse of hope for humanity, our dignity and our worth in how we relate to each other. But even the most ideal of these people will still fall short. That's why we're not called Nehemiahians today in church. We are called Christians. Because all these models like Nehemiah are foretelling for us one who's referred to as the Messiah, who would indeed go all the way for the entire humanity. Now, Messiah is the Old Testament term. That's in Hebrew. The New Testament term is Christ in Greek. This Christ is Jesus, the Son of God. He's demonstrated the ultimate self-denial at the cross. As God the Son, He can demand worship and adoration from humanity. But instead of demanding, He denied His entitlements and went to the cross for our sake, so that He can pay for the guilt of the sin of the world against God, to reconcile us back into a loving relationship with God. Therefore, as influencers of God in Christ, Christians can't possibly point to ourselves and say, "Be like me." We can only influence others by pointing them to the ultimate self-denier, self-sacrificer, Jesus Christ. He's the head of the church. The body is made up of His believers, His followers. Look to Christ. He's demonstrated perfect self-denial and generosity. So to summarize today's scripture in Nehemiah chapter 5, we are taught the problem and the solution of the inside job. The problem is the danger of self-destruction that Christians get when they are swallowed up by self-interest. The solution is to flip inside job to job inside. Christians taking on Christ-likeness because of the power of Holy Spirit's work and indwelling us. For only will this transform Christians from self-interests to self-denial, even to self-sacrifices. Bottom line, ask yourself, is God just a means for your personal end? That is to achieve solely what you want in life? Or is God your personal end so that your life becomes God's means for God's end? There's no story to end today's sermon. Instead, let this song inspire you to invite Holy Spirit's purifying fire to transform you from self-centered life to God-centered life. Refiner's fire. Purify my heart. Let me be as gold and precious silver. Purify my heart. Let me be as gold, pure gold. Let my heart's one desire to be holy. Set apart for you, Lord. Set apart for you, my Master. Ready to do your will.